Well, speaking of the children, really relates to what I want to share today. Deborah referred to Help's ministry that as she's getting ready for this kids church service, and the praise and worship ministry, and the children being excited about serving in the house of the Lord. Well, we all want to be excited about serving in the house of the Lord. This morning we had a prophetic word and a real emphasis on praise and that we are growing in Christ. We're being changed to become more like Christ. And a big way that we grow is to be involved in service and being excited in serving in the house of the Lord and growing into Christ's full character. Deborah prayed that we would grow into the full character of Jesus Christ. I'd like to talk about this morning about walking in God-given purpose. Walking in God-given purpose. Romans 8:5 says, those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. And those spiritual desires are God's purposes for you. Those spiritual desires are the things that God wants to do in your life to build you up. And those spiritual desires are the things that the purposes of God that you have your heart and your mind set on what God wants to do in your life. With children, we have this saying that idleness is the devil's workshop. Idleness is the devil's workshop. There's something about being idle that gives the opportunity for the enemy in children's lives, and that's the same for us big children as well. If we are not moving forward in the kingdom of God, we're moving backwards. We can't just put our Christian life on idle and expect to be growing in the Lord. And God wants all of us to be growing to be more like Him. We know that older people who keep a sense of purpose with their life, they live longer lives. They live more productive lives, generally speaking. But keeping that sense of purpose is very, very important. And the first point I want to make is that every single one of you needs to be absolutely 100% assured that God has a purpose for your life. This is a very important message that we share often over the students of Living Grace Christian School. It's really our constant prayer and message over them, that God has created them. Just simply that they've been created by God, that they've been created in His image. Because of that, they have value. They are very valuable people. They have value. They have intrinsic value. They are connected to the God of this universe. They have been created by God, and they have value. They've been created in His image. They have been created with a purpose, that there's a reason that they're here on this earth, and that God has plans for their life. God has plans that He knows about before we know about them. And this is the message and the prayer that all of us need to understand for our lives. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That workmanship is a work of art. Each one of you are a work of art. Each one of you God has created. God created you. God created you with the spoken word. And there's life that came through that word. And God can use us to be a work of art and be that encourager, and using that creative word that God has given each one of us to encourage others as well. We are created by God to do good works that He prepared. I was visiting Jennifer Walker's house yesterday, and Marcus had a special day, and Kayla came over, and they've had this extreme home makeover on their house. Their basement got totally redone, and their back porch and so forth, and that's very nice. You know, you hear of that show, Extreme Home Makeover. How many of you have watched that show, Extreme Home Makeover? Well, we are created in Christ Jesus, and when we start to understand God's plan and purpose for our life, when we start to understand what He has done in our life, we start to understand that we have been born again by the Spirit of God, that we are created in Christ Jesus, there's an extreme home makeover that God does in our life, that we are remade in Christ. when we truly understand what He has done in our life and what He wants to do in our life. We understand that there is a purpose to our salvation. That we're not simply saved to be blessed. But there is a purpose to our salvation. There is a purpose for your being saved. God wants to use you. God wants to use you to make a difference. And that's one of the great things about being a Christian, is that you feel like you can make a difference with your life. And it's always in terms of other people. In terms of how God can use you to make a difference in other people's lives. The cause of Christ. The cause of Christ is to make disciples. To make disciples of all nations. In our church mission statement, you look on the front of our bulletin, it has the phrase, making ever-growing disciples. Making ever-growing disciples. And that is the cause, and that's about people. I'd like us to turn to Jeremiah 29. And you might be thinking right now, well, okay, I can believe that I was created by God. I can believe that I have value. I can believe that God, yes, He ordained my life and He had a purpose for my life and He had plans for my life. But, Dan, I'm sorry, but I just think I've messed up my life. I think I've really made a mess of my life. And I don't really know what God can do with me. Well, in this passage in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, God was speaking to these people that really He was speaking to them. It was speaking to them amidst discipline. God was disciplining them. And God does discipline us. Often as adults, we don't get a rod in terms of a stiff stick, or we don't get a bit of time out. But sometimes the Lord takes us through the school of hard knocks, so to speak. And there's been times in my life where I've recognized that God is disciplining me. God is arresting my attention. And when those times come, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that He is getting my attention. I'm thankful that He's not, my life was not destroyed by me. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. I'm thankful that God got my attention before I destroyed my life or my family's life. But God has arrested my attention through His discipline. And so the Bible says in Hebrews that God disciplines those He loves. It's good for us. No discipline is pleasant at the time, but in the end, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. And we discipline our children for their good. And God disciplines us, of course, for our good. Well, this passage was spoken amidst people experiencing discipline. Jeremiah 29:11. And the Lord declares, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me." See, when we're in that place, this is what God calls us to. We might be in that place where we're at the bottom of ourselves. We've realized we've dug a pit for ourselves and there's no one to blame but us. All right, but we can always have hope. It says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." That speaks of repentance, turning around and saying, "Lord, all right, I've made a mess of things. All right, I've gone my way, and now I want to go your way. I've realized the futility of my way, and I'm choosing to go your way. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you." Everyone says it, say that. I will be found by you. Does anyone ever remember getting lost? Lost as a child. Lost in a mall. You remember that, Marcus? Getting lost. Maybe getting lost in a mall or so forth. All right? Wasn't it a great thing when your mom or dad found you? All right? You remember that, Tim? Okay. All right? When your mom or dad found you. Well, God is our Father. And He says, "I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." Maybe you found your mom. Maybe your mom or dad didn't know you were lost. Maybe you found your mom or maybe you found them before they realized you were lost. All right? But there, even when we are being disciplined, you need to know that God has a purpose for you, even amidst discipline. There's a purpose of that loving discipline, and the purpose is to bring you back to Him and to bring His purpose to your life so that you are truly making a difference and you're not just abiding your days and living your 70, 80 years or more on this earth. But God is using you to make a difference for your life. It brings renewal to your life. And it renews those spiritual desires, and God brings back to our life and makes it crystal clear when this happens in our life that God has something for us to do. That we are here for a reason. That I'm not simply an accident or an evolutionary byproduct, but God has a plan and a purpose for my life. He renews those spiritual desires. He gives us good desires. He gives us God desires. He gives us good desires. Those spiritual desires, when we find God in His purpose. And we find God in His purpose when we seek Him with all our heart. There's something about surrendering. There's something about laying out everything before the Lord. There's something about saying, Lord, here I am. I can remember the time in my life when I say, Lord, I don't know if You can do anything with me, but if You can do something with me, here I am. Here I am. It was a moment of surrender. And there's something about when that happens in our life that God starts to make things crystal clear. And we may have to dig ourselves out of a big pit, but God will start digging with us. And He'll start bringing it. He's not just going to pluck us out. He's not just going to, magically save us from everything. Because guess what? As we're digging out of that pit, He teaches us. He disciples us. He grows us. And He helps us to mature. And He works His character in us through that process. God is always bringing us back to His kingdom. It always comes back to a heart issue. It's never a matter simply of mechanics or doing the right things. It always comes back to a heart issue. God is always after the heart. He's after our heart. It's after His kingdom and making His kingdom first in our life. When we give all of us to His kingdom, we find life-giving, motivating purpose. We find godly desires. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. When we delight ourselves in Him. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 37. Walking in God-given purpose. Psalm chapter 37, verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. What that means is do your work. It means enjoy your work. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord in everything. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. That purpose that He has for your life will become brighter and brighter to you. It will become clearer and clearer to you as you do these things, as you trust in the Lord, as you do your work, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture, as we set our hearts on pilgrimage. It's not a pie-in-the-sky thing where, I'm just going to give up my job and do this thing. We have to do our job. We have to trust the Lord that He's going to do His work in our life. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Do our work unto Him. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, we choose to make Him our delight. And in everything we do, commit our way to Him. As we do these things, He will make His purpose clear in our lives. The second major point I want to make about walking in God-given purpose is that God's purpose for you relates to serving Him as part of the body of Christ. That's why I really like what Deborah was sharing about the kids getting involved in service. And we have the helps ministry team. Well, there's going to be a second part of this message where I'm going to talk about various gifts. And I'm going to emphasize the ministry of helps and the praise and worship ministry team. God's purpose for you relates to serving Him as part of the body of Christ. I love Vacation Bible School. And the thing I love about Vacation Bible School is that everyone works together. And sometimes you get to know people better when you're rubbing shoulders. There's a saying that in the heat of the battle, who we are really comes out. So sometimes in the heat of the battle, who we are really comes out. Sometimes our frustrations come out. But that's okay. I've become very comfortable with my humanity. Alright? I've become very comfortable with saying, I'm sorry. It's okay. We don't have to be perfect. Alright? But we learn to love each other for who we are. We learn to know each other. We learn to walk together. There's a sense of camaraderie. There's a sense of teamwork. There's a sense of encouraging each other through that long week of Vacation Bible School. And as we encourage one another and feed off each other and also obviously feed off the Lord and our relationship with the Lord, hopefully there's an energy that develops. There's an esprit de corps that takes place throughout that week of Vacation Bible School. We get to know each other because sometimes people aren't so forthright in terms of what they're good at. I don't know why it is, but a lot of times people don't want to tell other people what they're good at. Well, I'm interested in finding out what you're good at. Alright? Deborah's interested in finding out whether you like to teach kids. Alright? Tell her. Alright? Brag on yourself. Don't worry about it. Okay, the Bible says if you have a gift, if someone has a gift, let him use it. Let him use it according to the faith that God has given him. Recently, I was at the Swanders Flock Group, and Ron Davis spoke up. And Ron Davis really blessed the group and really helped somebody in the group. And he shared about something from his life and what he had gone through. And he was really given a word of encouragement to trust the Lord, to trust the process, to see that God did something in his life and through the church, how he was brought forth. And the point is that we are participants and not spectators. Everyone here is a participant and not a spectator. To help others. If you look at the mission statement again at the front of the bulletin, it talks about others-focused champions. Others-focused champions helping each other to walk out God's destiny for our lives. In my family, we have a saying, it's not original with us, but everyone needs to carry his own weight. Everyone needs to carry his own weight. And so, you know, Joshua needs to carry himself. All right? I mean, he still wants to be held by Sylvia on Sunday mornings for worship. And he's like, he's not a small four-year-old. All right? How much does he weigh now? 50-some pounds. I don't know. He needs to carry his own weight. Everyone needs to carry his own weight. I was personally convicted of this lately in that sometimes I bring a lot of stuff to school. I got my briefcase, and then I got my athletic bag, and then I bring my lunch and my laptop, and every once in a while I bring my weights. I haven't been doing that much recently, but I'm bringing all this stuff to school, and then I realized I was asking my kids to just bring some stuff for me, but they got their own backpack, and Anna's got her laptop, and because they got to bring their laptops every day, the seventh graders on up, and their own lunch and so forth. And here I'm asking them to carry my weight. And so I'm trying to do my best to live according to that maxim. Everybody's got to carry their own weight. Every single one of us, God calls us to be serving the Lord as part of God's family. Every single one of us. We are a Body Life Church. And that has its outflow in a couple different ways, both in the Sunday morning service and in the flock groups and in just basic serving throughout the church. We are a body life church. On Sunday morning, I really haven't had to experience this, but I can sympathize with my dad, and I realize what he means when he says that every Sunday that they had to prepare a program. They had to see, you know, what the special music was going to be. Maybe someone would sing a solo, or you'd have a special music by a choir, or this person would do that, and so forth and so on, and to prepare a service. Whereas now, yes, obviously the worship team prepares the songs, but we depend more so upon the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if God doesn't show up, it falls flat. Now, God shows up. The question is, are we alert? Are we ready? The Bible says when you come together, everyone should bring a hymn, a song, a testimony, a word, a message, a word of encouragement. Just like Claude this morning, as he was in his morning devotions this morning, God gave him a word to share with the congregation. And that edified and that built us up. And so we are dependent. Sometimes we say, well, let's just wait upon the Lord. And whenever you do that as a pastor or shepherd in the service, all right, you are taking a risk. You're taking a risk, like this morning when Deborah asked for a testimony. Well, when you do that, people haven't been thinking about what am I going to share. It takes them a little while to think. Someone has to break the ice. Thank God someone did break the ice. And that gave some time for some other people to think. And then more people shared their testimony. And so we are a body life church in that we're dependent upon God working by His Holy Spirit through the body. And what that means for us is that we need to have listening ears. It means we need to be listening to the Lord. It means we need to have seeing eyes. All right, to see what the Lord is doing. To see what He wants to do. And sometimes it may just be a prayer that the Lord leads you to pray. It might be the Lord might guide your heart to a passage of Scripture. Maybe a prophetic word. All right? And to just share a word of edification. That's the purpose of prophecy, the main purpose of prophecy in the New Testament. When we're a New Testament church, to edify the body, to build up the body. And invariably, including today, what it does, it prepares our hearts for the preaching of the Word. It prepares our hearts. And we know that surely the Lord is in this place. Say that. Surely the Lord is in this place. Because the Lord is speaking to us. The Lord is moving among our midst. And He is ministering to our hearts. The other major area I want to stress as a body life church is with the flock home groups. As brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, we have flock home group leaders. And they have been willing to open up their homes. I like the message that Deborah gave last summer, which I thought was a very milestone message. And that he talked about being doorkeepers. That a flock group leader is simply willing to open up his doors. Open up their doors to other people. To allow God to work in people's lives. To open up the home. And flock group leaders are more facilitators more than anything else. Because the model that we have is we simply open up the Scriptures. We ask for prayer. And we open up the Scriptures and we let the Lord work. And that's the whole point. It's not dictated so much as it's facilitated. And we are participants, not spectators. And just as Ron spoke up and really encouraged somebody in that flock group that I attended recently. All right? Everybody has an opportunity to share and encourage one another. And so in the flock home groups, we are a body life church. We are brothers and sisters walking together. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. It says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. So our body is a unit, has many parts. Just think of your body, it has toes, it has hands, it has one nose, I won't say noses, one nose, two ears, two eyes, Okay? Many parts, but one body. And it's the same with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether Ghanaians or Togolese or English or Canadian or Honduran, whatever it may be, we are all baptized into by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Everyone is needed. Your gift is needed for the well-functioning of the body. Now in this, there are two extremes to avoid as we work together as the body of Christ. Think of yourself. Maybe you have a perfect balance between these two extremes. But the two extremes are the inferiority complex and the superiority complex. Maybe you're feeling superior to others. I think often we feel inferior to others. Let's look at the inferiority complex first. The inferiority complex is where basically someone says with so many words or with their attitude or when you kind of, you know, ask them about how they might want to get involved. Well, I really don't have anything to offer. You know, I'm really not good in anything. I mean, what do you like to do? You know, I just, is that kind of sense? I don't really have anything to offer. Well, God, that's not acceptable. You might think, well, I'm just being humble. All right? Or I'm just, you know, sometimes in a misguided way, Christians think, well, you know, I just want to be humble, you know. No. All right? God doesn't want to have a poor me attitude. Or we might think, well, you know, I just kind of messed up my life. Or we might think, I don't really deserve to be involved in serving the Lord. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:14. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. You cannot reason yourself out of being part of the body. You are part of the body of Jesus Christ. And there is no excuse. And the reason I can say that is because God's grace is all through this. We'll talk about the superiority complex in a few minutes. But there's no reason for an inferiority complex, and there's no reason for boasting either, because it's all by God's grace. And God has gifted every single one of you with a purpose, with a gift, with something to offer to the body. Some of you may have recognized that, particularly me and my mom, we've been strategizing. We've been going through the entire congregation. And I've made it my goal that every last person in this congregation is serving the Lord in one way or another. Every last person. Why? Just so that, you know, we can prop this building up and so forth? No, because that's how you grow. When you are serving the Lord, you are growing. That's a major way how you're growing. You're serving the Lord. You got to realize that I have a purpose. All right? I have to serve the Lord. I am serving the Lord. And when you know that you're a servant of the Lord, that makes a difference in your life. That makes a difference in how you act and how you talk. Right? When you know that you're serving the Lord. Yesterday something happened and Nehemiah left a soccer ball at a soccer game. And I had a lot to do. I had a lot that I wanted to get to and so forth in the afternoon. And the light went on and it dawned on him right when we were getting back home. And I was tempted to get angry. But the fact that I had to share this word today made a difference. And, you know, I could have expressed my anger and gotten upset and so forth, but I thought it would just be a waste of time. Because I'd have to get right back with the people I got angry with. I'd have to get right back with God. And I didn't have time for all that business. I still have stuff to do. When you're serving the Lord and having to get ready to serve the Lord, it makes a difference. Because you got to serve the Lord. And I know I cannot get up here with stuff untaken care of like that. All right? When you got to serve the Lord, it makes a difference in all your relationships. It makes a difference in your home life. I always remember that poem. The way things that go at home is the way things go everywhere. All right? If it's not working at home, it's not going to work anywhere. If it's right at home, it'll work everywhere. It's got to work at home first. It's got to work with your spouse first. It's got to work with your children first. If it's right at home, you have freedom to serve the Lord and to allow Him to use the gift that He's given to you to serve Him. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body. God is like this great coach. He's arranged all the players. He arranges us. God has arranged the parts, like all the players and the positions and so forth and the roles. God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, some of them. Does it say some of them? Every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. There are no inferiority complexes. Each one is gifted. No poor me attitudes, or no, I don't deserve to serve the Lord. The Bible says it's not wise for us to compare ourselves to others. God doesn't want the eye competing with the ear. He doesn't want the hand competing with the foot. He doesn't want us thinking one way or another, who's better or who's not. It's not wise for us to compare ourselves to others. No inferiority complex. You may not know your gift, but you need to know that you are gifted. You need to find out that gift. You need to consciously use it. You need to actively use it. You need to fan into flame the gift that God has given you, as the Word tells us. Now, the other extreme is the superiority complex. Verse 21, and this paragraph shares about this extreme. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. He can't say to someone else, we don't need you. Or maybe with our attitude, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We can't say to the various ones of us, parts of the body, that we don't need you. We need all of you. Everyone is needed. There's something I've noticed in running. About two and a half months ago, I had the opportunity. It was President's Day. I guess that's February, right? And I was going to go out and do a 10-mile run. And I was feeling very good that day. And so, okay, well, maybe I'll go 13 miles. And I thought, well, maybe I'll go 16 miles. Maybe I'll go 18. Maybe I'll go 20. And then I got to that point, it was President's Day, so I had a very long afternoon. Sylvia did have to forgive me later because she did not know what was going on. I went all 26.2 miles. I just kept going. I just wanted to see if it could be done. And there were some ramifications from that in my body. I was going pretty good through the teens, but in the 20s, I definitely stiffened up. And what happens when you're running, you might get an injury in one area, and I got an injury, but then as you're compensating for an injury in that area, you end up getting an injury in another part of your body, okay? And that happens, and I'm just finally getting back to the point where I'm feeling that injury has dissipated, all right? And But that's what happens. When one part of the body is injured, we start compensating, and then that can cause an injury in another part of the body. We are dependent on God, and we are also dependent on each other. We need each other. Every part of the body is needed. We can't say, I don't need you. Verse 22 says, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Take the foot. All right? We cover the foot with socks. We use shoes. The foot is very, very needful. The foot can't say, the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. You know, you're way down there. I'm up here. All right? Here are all these good things I can do with my hands. I can shake people's hands. All right? I don't need you. You're down there. Well, you're not going to be standing up without the foot. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. We need to give greater honor to each other. And what this helps do, it helps with our interpersonal relationships, so that there's no division in the body. We need to be quick to encourage and quick to congratulate and quick to commend when we see people doing things. And we need to honor them, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So the superiority complex. We have not been given a gift to look down on other people. We have not been given a gift to have an attitude with, you know, I don't really need you. We have been given a gift to serve others. Plain and simple. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It says, For by the grace given me, the grace given me, it's all from God. There is no basis for boasting. I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. That's the superiority complex. No pride. There's no reason to pat ourselves on the back, because it's all from God. It's all from His grace. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Now some people might think, well, okay, I got great faith. The measure of faith. And they're thinking, okay, I got great faith. But where does the faith come from? The faith comes from God. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And even this faith is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, so that no one can boast. So don't even pat yourself on the back if you got great faith. And God is using you in mighty ways. What that faith simply means is that you know how to depend on God. It means that you know how to trust God. It means that you've learned that without God you are nothing. But faith isn't just faith in itself, it's faith in God. It means that you trust God. You've learned your weakness. And my weakness, He is strong, and so you trust God and you have faith in God. There's no reason to boast, no reason for superiority complex. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We belong to each other. We're one body. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Again, the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. So this comes against the inferiority complex. If you have a gift, God says, let him use it. Let him use it. False humility has no place in the kingdom of God. We need to know ourselves. God doesn't commend false humility. For you to share with me or one of the leaders in the church, that you have a gift in a certain area, and I'd like to grow to that place. I'd like to start coming to the meetings. I have this gift that God has given me. I want to use it. That's perfectly appropriate. It shouldn't be this big mystery. I'm very, very attuned to wanting to find out what people are good at. And we need to, I need to be pursuing people. The pastors and elders need to be pursuing people. The flock group leaders need to be pursuing people. But we want to know each other so that we can use that gift for the advancement of His kingdom. Let Him use it. Everyone say, let Him use it. If it is serving, let Him serve. If it is teaching, let Him teach. If it is encouraging, let Him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let Him give generously. If it is leadership, let Him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let Him do it cheerfully. All these ways of expressing the gifts that God has given us. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, the local church, the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." There's a unifying purpose to it. It's not an individualistic purpose. It's a purpose as part of a whole. We are ministering God's grace. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace." We were talking this morning in the Gateway class about being believer priests, and at Northgate Community Church, we believe that each one of us are involved in the work of the ministry, that we are believer priests according to God. And so we believer priests administer God's grace. They add God's grace to people. They minister God's grace to people in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. God's purpose for us is for us to get involved in serving. See how God has gifted you by grace to help others. Let's all stand. I'd like to finish by reading from Ephesians chapter 2. And this really shows how we're built together and the purpose of it. It says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, members of God's family, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." We're all being built together. And there's a purpose why we're together. To be that dwelling, to be that home in which God can live by His Spirit. And so all nations are streaming together. And we're being built together. We're functioning together. That's a testimony to the world for that to take place, for us to walk that way. There's not one minister here. We are believer priests. Others-focused champions. And the elders want you to know that we are committed to each one of you growing. We're committed to caring for you. And when parents care for children, obviously they are concerned. They care for their growth, that they're growing. And so, yes, we want all of you to be in a spiritual home, in a spiritual family, in a flock home group. We're going to keep encouraging you in that. We want all of you to be serving. Because as we're serving, we're growing. We're going to be more like Christ. We're going into the full stature of Jesus Christ. We're committed to each one of you finding a place of serving the Lord in His body, the church. Let's just worship the Lord. Thank you, Lord.